The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
As we roll on Get Up, what a delight this is for the first time in far too long.
Years.
Richard Jefferson is back in our studio.
Windy
here as well. Let's have a little fun before we start it out.
I like fun.
We had two big dunks last night.
Uh-oh.
You tell me which one you like better. First of all, we got Grizzlies Warriors. We got DeAnthony Melton. What do you think?
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. No, that is Jalen Green. Let's just start with that. I was like, that seems off. First of all, the young fella, what I like about him is his bounce is absolutely next level. I'm curious to see what he's going to be in the next few years. Like, I can't judge him off his rookie year.
Okay, then so we ran him in the wrong order. This is DeAnthony Melton. Take a look.
Come on, Melton. Oh! Look, you know what? Anytime you get to dunk on the Warriors and Looney, like, that just feels good. There's just something. And like, this is what I love about Memphis, the energy from their bench. Like, they are one unit moving all in the same direction, having a damn good time.
Look, there are so few of us who know what it feels like to do that, you
yes.
and I, and
yes.
so few others, that we can perhaps share some stories a little later as we come to you live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are jam-packed, lots of hoops, lots of football. Cindy, let's do it. It is time to get up, and we're getting up with Green Bay. We'll tell you how Rodgers' return to a ring begins right now. There's one thing they have to do. We'll tell you exactly what it is. Meanwhile, Mahomes, without his running mate, are they still legit? Is everything still up to date in Kansas City? We'll tell you something you don't already know about their plans. And why has it gotten so hard for Harden? Is the Philly finisher finished in the jam-packed Eastern Conference? Answers to those and other questions as we get up with you. Starting right now in the NFL, Packers, center of attention for so much of this offseason, bringing back Aaron Rodgers, trading away Devontae Adams, Matt LaFleur. This morning, just an hour ago, at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach, addressing the end of the Devontae Adams era. Here's what he said.
Those decisions are never easy to make. And unfortunately, it was one that, you know, we had to come to. I think a lot of it was driven by Devontae, I would tell you. But, you know, there's no sense in looking back on it. It's just we're moving forward. So, and we appreciate everything he's done, obviously. It's a lot to replace in terms of the production and the type of leader that he was for us. But, again, it was just one of those deals that you never want to make, but unfortunately sometimes you have to.
So wasn't that fascinating? And let me bring the football crew in here this morning. Diana is just back from the owners' meetings, and we have Mike Tannenbaum and Jeff Saturday along as well. And so, Diana, you heard him say there, this was something that we didn't want to do. But Devontae Adams, I'm going to paraphrase now, essentially forced them into doing something they didn't otherwise want to do. How should we read that?
You should read it as it's very telling that Devontae Adams had a number and he wanted to be paid that. And he's also very aware that they're a little bit on rocky ground, the Green Bay Packers, because we don't know what quarterback Aaron Rodgers is going to do in the future. We know he's back for this season for sure, but what is the future in Green Bay? So that definitely was part of, you know, how his perspective on this. But Matt LaFleur also said that they're going to continue to build and add to the roster, and always some unforeseen things will transpire. And that really stood out to me when he told reporters that this morning, because unforeseen things, you know, I'm interested to see what Green Bay has in terms of their plan, because we know the one area that they have to hit on in this upcoming draft is at the wide receiver position. They have to figure out a way to replace Devontae Adams. They have to find out a way to replace MVS and perhaps find a receiver to eventually replace Randall Cobb.
So what is the plan there, Mike T? How do they go out and try and do the impossible, which is bring in someone or some ones who can give you what Devontae Adams gave you?
I would scour, and here's how I would do it. I would go to Odell Beckham Jr. and say, hey, invest in us for 1 year at a below market deal. But OBJ, we will feature you in this offense when you're ready to go. And in March of 2023, you're going to crush it in the free agent market. And then I'm going to go trade for Jameson Williams because he's as an explosive as player that's come out in the draft in a long time. Now, ironically, he tore his ACL as well, so he may not be ready from day one. And that's why there's some inconsistencies with bringing Aaron Rodgers back and not keeping Adams. But by the end of the season, between OBJ and a player like Jameson Williams, Greeny, you will have players that can make big plays, big explosive plays in the passing game.
You see Jameson Williams there, the fourth receiver on this board from Mel Kiper. To be clear, had it not been for that injury in the championship game, his name would be at the very top of this list. He's got speed, he's got all that, but he will not be ready when the season begins. So, Jeff, Saturday, if the Packers were the best team in the NFC, which they were this past year, at least as far as the regular season, now with the departure of Devontae, what are they?
Yeah, they're a third, fourth-ish type team in the NFC, and that's a concern. Listen, you're talking about a quarterback who this might be his last run, right? I mean, we've seen the last dance conversation, thought about retirement this offseason, all of those things. So it's win now. You can't let a guy like Devontae Adams out of your building. I don't care how much he wanted to go. You've got a franchise. You've got to keep him in. Everybody in that locker room understood how important this duo was to their success. And I don't care how good a get. Aaron Rodgers, the most receptions he's ever thrown to a rookie is 38. I don't care how good they are. They'll be good in a couple years, but that rapport that Aaron builds with his receivers, he wants trust, Greeny. That means he wants to know exactly where that receiver is going to be at the exact moment. That is a big deal for Aaron Rodgers. That doesn't develop overnight. So whoever you're trying to go out and get, it's going to take time, and you're not going to be able to replicate that relationship he had with Devontae Adams. This is a big loss, and again, this could potentially put them out of the NFC conversation, even though it's a much weaker conference than it was last year.
Finish it up, Diana. Go.
My thought when Jeff was talking about that, I'm thinking about those receivers that were drafted as rookies and turned out to be big stars, right? A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Justin Jefferson. Maybe they can find these type of players in this upcoming draft, and then they've hit it good.
Well, they've got the right quarterback to try and get it done. We'll see if they can. Guys, stay with me. Much more football as we go. But let me get RJ and Wendy back in here. And we run the floor through last night's action in the NBA. The Heat back in the top spot in the jam-packed Eastern Conference after blowing out the Kings last night. The Heat needed a win in the worst way, and they got it. Jimmy Butler had 27. Bam Adebayo had 22 points and 15 rebounds. In Toronto, the Celtics, playing without so many of their stars, including Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, lost in overtime. Pascal Siakam went for 40 points and 13 rebounds. The Celtics fall from 1-4 in the East, but you see how jam-packed. I mean, RJ is laughing because it's so ridiculously tight right now. Our analytics still give the Celtics the best chance to get the one seed, but it's only at 44%. And very quickly, before we dive more deeply into a few other things, RJ, as you were making your way here this morning, Wendy made I'm not sure we call it an observation. Let's call it something to keep in the back of your mind about the Celtics playing shorthanded last night.
Yeah, remember, there are more players in the league than just Kyrie Irving who are unvaccinated who would not be eligible to play in Toronto in the postseason. The Celtics had three players last night who played on Sunday but did not make the trip to Toronto. They were on the injury report. Our Tim Bontemps asked the Celtics, if this was a playoff situation, would all your players be eligible to play in Toronto? And they said, no comment. Jason Tatum is on the record as having said he is vaccinated. These are just the things that we know. We don't know the other situations.
Mm-hmm.
But something to keep
so
in mind.
So that I saw your face the second he started saying that. What does it make you think?
If Toronto was a little bit better, if they were a little bit better, there would be a lot of problems. Because all the teams that would have to go up there, especially in the postseason, if you talk about them potentially making a run. But, you know, right now when I look up and down this roster, we knew that Kyrie Irving wasn't the only one. It was the New York mandate that was stopping him.
Right.
And now you're starting to see it potentially, because there was always reasons why guys might sit out in Toronto or this or that. But now the potential of going up there for a 7-game series, now I think the closer to that, you might see some guys change their mind, especially because there'll be now
right
scrutiny.
We're right on the edge, Rich.
Right on the edge.
You'd have to get vaccinated, like, right
today.
About now.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know about today, but right about now. Mm-hmm. for the 2 weeks to be qualified.
To be very clear, they can't get into the country. This is not these players would not be allowed into Canada at this point. So this is not an American policy here. There's nothing the NBA can do about it or anybody else. So that is just something we wanted to get ahead of. It's worth keeping an eye on. In the meantime, maybe the other big story, the biggest story in that jam-packed East, the recent struggles of James Harden. Take, for example, the game against Phoenix this weekend. He was 2 of 11 in his Sixers loss. He just hasn't looked right the last couple of weeks. Tim Legler was on this show yesterday. Here's what he said he's seeing from Harden.
I think the level of concern is rising as we speak. I really do, because when I watch James Harden certain nights, and last night was a great example of this, and look, you are playing one of the best defenses in the league, but he has an inability right now to get by the initial defender. He just can't do that right now. I don't know if it's physically something is going on. He's not the same dominant offensive player that he was. And that should be absolutely concerning to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Look, Harden started off unbelievably well. You see the numbers on the left side there. His first five games, he was magnificent. They were magnificent. Since then, it's been average. His numbers are way down. You heard Tim Legler talking about his inability to just blow by people, which has been such a huge part of his game for so long. Richard, what are you seeing?
Well, it happens. As players get older, that's one of the things that starts to affect them. Like, again, go back to Kobe Bryant. When you can't – Kobe Bryant used to be able to drive by you, right, and go dunk on the big, and if you gave him space, he'd be able to pull up for a jumper. Right now, I'm seeing players get closer and closer and closer to James Harden. That means he's got to drive by him. And if you don't have the floor spacing, you know, they gave up Seth Curry. They don't necessarily have the shooting around. Mm-hmm. So now you can stay a little bit close, and guys can kind of pack the paint a little bit more because Joel Embiid is really the primary option. So I just think it's going to take him a little bit more time to figure it out, but I am definitely seeing the exact same thing that Tim is seeing.
You had stats on this earlier,
yeah,
right?
Kendall,
I mean, some of these advanced stats.
He has plunged from being an elite level blow-by guy. He was at the 89th percentile, according to Second Spectrum, in blow-by percentage last year. Now he's 58. So he's gone from the very top to the middle of the pack. And look, everybody in the league knows this. If you watch the way that the Suns guarded him, they sat on his left side and just said, go for it. Now, he is still super crafty. He is still getting to the line 10 times a game. He is still a threat, but he is no longer super scary.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that everybody in the league is aware of.
And the better shooter you are, the quicker you become.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's not shooting the ball particularly well, which he hasn't shot the ball well from three, now all of a sudden you can give a little bit more space. You can sit on his left hand. You can handle that first shift, that first drive, and you don't have to worry about it because he's not knocking down the three at the same rate.
I am so seldom right that when I am, I like pointing it out. The day they made this trade, I said Seth Curry is going to wind up being a huge factor in all of this. He's going to make it. Brooklyn will win a playoff game somewhere because they have him, and the Sixers will lose one somewhere because they don't. Having said that, your arch nemesis, Jay Williams, was in our studio earlier this morning. I asked him, who's the team to beat in the East? Who's the best team? He said Milwaukee. Who do you say?
Damn it, I don't even like him, right? It's Milwaukee. Milwaukee is the best team because, look, they're the defending champions. Over the last 4 years, they have been the best team in the NBA. They had best record. They finished third last year, and here they are in the hunt for the best record again in the Eastern Conference. So when I look at them, they're all moving. There's no agenda. There's no nothing. There's really no new players. Their big three, when they all play together, their rate of wins is outstanding.
Look, I love them, and I love Giannis, but I feel a need to continue to say this. If Kyrie Irving had not turned his ankle. If Kyrie Irving had not turned his ankle in that game three or whatever it was last year, the Nets were going to sweep them out of the playoffs. They will now have Durant and Kyrie healthy. Why are you telling me they were going to sweep them in that series? Why are you telling me the Nets don't beat them now?
One, I think this team, this Brooklyn team, there's just a different vibe. There's a different energy to this team. And secondly, when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, the biggest thing for them was getting over that mental hurdle, right? They had struggled in the postseason. They hadn't really done what they were expected to do. Once they got over that hump and they won a championship, look, when we won the championship in 16, we were a better team in 17. We just went against the Warriors and they added Kevin Durant. You are a better team the following year, and I think the Milwaukee Bucks are better this year.
Yes, if they didn't add Kevin Durant, you would have won the championship the next year, and who knows what would have happened. Who's the team to beat in the East?
It's
Wendy.
The Bucks. I'm going to say this about the Nets. They are 9-13 when Kyrie plays this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because they are 23rd in defense. They do not play championship-level defense. Greeny, you are right. They are a super threat. Do I believe playing defense that way they can win three series in the East and four overall? I do not.
Including probably a play-in scenario. We'll have to wait and see. Guys, stay close. Much more of this as we go. On the way next, he's the top quarterback on the market. Does anybody want him? Anyone interested in Jimmy G? Is it possible he's back in San Francisco? They talked about it this morning at the owners' meetings. You will hear it coming up next. Plus, it's full speed ahead for two of the Nets' three stars. Can they win it without Ben Simmons? Oh, yeah, there's him. More from RJ and Wendy as we roll on. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get up. RJ is back with us today. Let's play a game called Likely or Unlikely. RJ, are the Lakers likely or unlikely to win a playoff series?
A playoff series? They're almost unlikely to make the play-in tournament right now. LeBron James rolled his ankle. Actually, didn't look very, very pretty. So, very unlikely.
They got to play the Suns. You realize that. There's no chance of the 7th.
Yeah,
they're going to have to play the 8th.
Yeah. I think there's a better chance of them not making the play-in than actually winning a playoff series.
All right, that's a definitive answer, and I think I agree. Wendy, likely or unlikely that Zion is a Pelican next season?
Boy, I'm going to say likely, but I don't feel good about it. It's not just about where he is with the franchise. He's got a contract extension decision. He's got to decide, and the Pelicans have to decide, full max, partial
full max. Full max.
Okay, well, maybe they're not ready to give it to him, so I don't know.
That would be a risky move.
Real risky.
Speaking of injured stars, RJ, are the Nets likely or unlikely to win a title without Ben Simmons contributing?
I'm going to say no. I think winning a championship is the hardest thing that you can do in sports. If you had that type of talent and that type of player on the sideline for this entire run, it'd be different if they were one or two and they had an easier path and maybe they can get lucky. No, that's not the situation.
There is no easy path in the East, right? And we've talked about it, and there's the odds to win the conference. There's no team, whether you're the first seed or the ninth seed, or by the time we get to the actual playoffs, it'll be eight. There is no easy path in the Eastern Conference, right?
No, there is no easy path. And when you look at those teams, one through, I think, five are all bunched together. Mm-hmm. So you don't even know. They're not even in a position right now where you know who you're potentially going to play. So it's like normally you start to kind of stagger, start playing that jockeying game. They can't even do that.
All right, stay there. I'm going to get back to the Nets in a minute. But we just got this in from the owners' meetings. I want to get it in the show here. In the NFL, the 49ers have big decisions to make when it comes to their quarterback room. Jimmy Garoppolo had surgery on his throwing shoulder earlier this month. He remains on the roster. Kyle Shanahan was asked about Jimmy G's future this morning at the owners' meeting and the possibility he may return to San Francisco.
Do you see a scenario in which he is on the roster in 2020?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
Based on what you saw from Trey, is the natural progression for him to be a starter? Is that something that he's going to have to prove this offseason?
Well, I mean, that's why we looked into trading Jimmy. Because we obviously believe that Trey can be a starter, and we're ready to do that. But if we can't upgrade our team in another way, we're not just going to get rid of a good quarterback because we have other quarterbacks on the roster. And quarterbacks are really hard to come by.
Wow. You should have seen RJ's face as he was saying that. Diana, that we just got that. Yeah, RJ, fascinated. Diana, we just got that. What? How do you interpret that?
Yeah, I think Kyle's leaving the door open for Jimmy Garoppolo to be on this roster come this upcoming season. And I think they're just at a point right now where perhaps there was a window missed, right? We saw a lot of movement in the quarterback space. We know it's been a very busy musical chairs game, so to speak. And quite frankly, Greeny, just as a reporter, I'm even surprised that it's almost April here and Jimmy Garoppolo is on this roster. Even Jimmy himself, after they lost to the Rams in the NFC Championship game, was at that post-game press conference essentially in tears, knowing They're trying to move him, and his time in San Francisco is probably over. And here we are. He's still there. His head coach kind of saying, yeah, we're going to see. Look, we know the future is Trey Lance. You don't make those moves in the draft for a player that you're just going to continue to sit. But that being said, having Jimmy G on the roster still, it may not be a bad thing. I still think he'll most likely get moved come training camp when we see a starter go down because of injury. But I think right now, because of the shoulder situation, we know it's not a medical concern as much as it is him missing time during the offseason for some of these teams that are interested in perhaps trading for him. That's something that really didn't work out for him. And I think the Niners are sitting back saying, all right, maybe we just got to sit and wait for the right opportunity.
Mike T, you're my GM. How's this play out?
We're not trading him. Period. End of story. Why would we trade a really good quarterback that in the last couple of years we've been to the Super Bowl with and the championship game? And if Jarski Tart catches that pass from Matt Stafford, could be in the Super Bowl. It's a 17-game season. I want depth at the most critical position. So I understand what Diana's points are. But unless I am blown away by draft choice compensation, I'm going to the season with two guys that I like and bring Trey Lance along slowly and then move on from Jimmy G next year. And by the way, on the other end of those conversations, Greeny, if we were running a team, would we want to acquire a quarterback that just had shoulder surgery and we don't know when he's going to be ready? All the OTAs, mini camps, maybe the start of training camp, learning a new system. I think this is a much better situation for everybody for Jimmy G to go back for one more year.
What do you think, Jeff?
Patience pays here, Greeny. I mean, I think San Francisco understands. Listen, this Jimmy G, when he starts, has won. They've won 70% of their games and score over 28 points a game. That's pretty good numbers, right? I'm not saying the quarterback deserves all the credit for the wins. It's a good football team. But you know you can consistently win with Jimmy G as your quarterback. There is no reason to move on for him. And you hear Mike T every time he's on TV talking about teams having to scour, turn every stone, do all these things. San Francisco's sitting in a perfect spot. They don't got to scour anywhere. If Trey Lance doesn't play well, Jimmy G can play well. If a team needs a quarterback and they're willing to cough up some draft picks and money, we'll take that too. They're in a perfect position. Slow play this, which John Lynch has done. I think it's a perfect position for them to be in. No hurry, no pressure.
Go ahead, Diana, real quick.
I'm just always entertained by all this. If we were to show some get-up clips back in January, we're all saying, all right, see you later, Jimmy. And here we are talking about Jimmy being on the roster coming up. I just find that
reasonable.
Really funny.
I hear you. But isn't it reasonable to say if it weren't for the shoulder injury that he would probably have been traded by now? Yes? I mean, I think that was not something we didn't see coming.
I do believe so. I think if that shoulder surgery was done at a different time, perhaps maybe earlier in the season for him, it could have helped his chances. But here we are.
All right, we will see what winds up happening. So much more from the owner meeting as we go. Mike, I'll come back to you, but I got to take a quick break. We will continue here with more football conversation. Help wanted in Kansas City. How desperate are the Chiefs to find a replacement for Tyreek Hill? Diana with inside information on what they're looking to do. Plus, LeBron's ankle swollen. Their playoff chances getting slimmer by the day. Will the King ever win another title in L.A.? We will talk about that. And we welcome Richard back with Sneaky Hembo. Here we go, RJ. Who averaged 30 points per game the most seasons playing for the Lakers? Right now, LeBron's averaging 30. Who had the most 30 points per game season? We'll answer that question and continue to marvel at RJ's footwear as we roll on. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All
All right, Hambo has welcomed Richard Jefferson back to studio with this sneaky question. So LeBron James is averaging 30 points a game right now. Who has averaged 30 points a game the most times as a Laker?
Elgin Baylor.
Elgin Baylor was my guess. It's not right.
Is it Kareem?
But you're in the right era.
Oh.
He's on the logo. It's Jerry West. Jerry West is the correct answer.
He's so proud of himself.
Four times.
He's so proud.
The first words out of your mouth in the break were Kobe Bryant. Kobe did it three times. West four, Elgin Baylor twice, LeBron James just the one. Score that one for Sneaky Hembo. Okay, meanwhile, we run the floor through last night's NBA action. Celtics, playing without many of their stars, including Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, took on the Raptors, I should say, and lost. Pascal Siakam went for 40 points, 13 rebounds. Raptors in overtime got the win. In Memphis, the Warriors playing without anybody. Draymond Green didn't play. The Splash Brothers didn't play. They got blown out by the Grizzlies, who were playing without Ja Morant. Steve Kerr got thrown out of this game. Grizzlies are now 18-2 without Morant. And don't look now. The Spurs are inching closer to the playoffs. They beat the Rockets by three. DeJounte Murray led the way for San Antonio with 33. So take a look at where the Spurs are. As Wendy said, based upon the tiebreaker, they're basically in a flat-footed tie at this point with the Lakers for the 10th and final spot. And the Lakers' remaining schedule is brutal. Six of their last eight games are against teams over 500. They're playing a Dallas team tonight that needs a win, and they will probably be without. Well, let me ask you, is LeBron James going to play tonight?
He's listed as doubtful. The way he was talking the other night, considering it's the same side as his sore knee, I'll never bet against LeBron playing, but it sounded like he was going to be out.
So, again, RJ, I mean, you know him so well. You played with him, won the championship there together in Cleveland. It's a weird conversation because LeBron is playing so well and his team is so bad. How do you see this for him and for the Lakers with a week and a half to go?
I feel like they are rooting for the San Antonio Spurs. The Lakers are really rooting for the Spurs to win games. That's all they're trying to do. This season's over. There's nothing to be gained from this year. Like, obviously we've done the Karl Malone and LeBron James being 30-10-10, like all the things. But there's nothing positive to take from this season. They just need – and that's why, look, they didn't make any trades. They didn't give up any assets. They were like, look, we're just going to finish this season, and then we're going to quietly go into this offseason and try and figure it out.
Is that going to be okay with him? You know him well.
Yes, yes. Because it's like, look, this is one thing that everyone wants to applaud his IQ and talk about how smart he is. Well, he knows what this team is capable of doing. He knows what the ceiling for this team is. And so he's going to try and raise his level, which he has, leading the league in scoring, doing all the things that he can. But he also is very aware that, like, it doesn't matter how many points I score, this team can't contend for a title, let alone a title run.
If and when they get Anthony Davis back down this stretch here, will we at least get to see what this team could be going forward? I guess what I'm trying to ask you is, before I ask Wendy about what the Lakers are thinking, do you believe LeBron is thinking he and Anthony Davis are still the combination going forward in L.A. to win titles?
100%. But one thing LeBron James is choosing is that it's not up to LeBron James. It's up to Anthony Davis. LeBron James is holding up his end of the bargain. If anything, he's carrying weight for Anthony Davis.
Right.
What he needs Anthony Davis to do is start carrying weight for him and then the other guys like Russell, like Carmelo. He needs to carry that weight. So it's not up to LeBron James. It's up to AD.
Well, they need to get rid of all those guys you're talking about. I mean, that's not the future in L.A., clearly. And Russell Westbrook, that hasn't worked out. Carmelo was an older player. Anthony Davis was supposed to be the guy who became the 1A to LeBron's 1B. I don't know that anyone can feel confident he's going to be that guy because of his inability to stay healthy. So how does that look going forward?
So there are people who will tell you the only way the Lakers can get out of this situation is by looking to trade him because they have nothing else of value really to trade. I am not in that camp.
No.
I believe you keep two top 15 players together. But I will say this. LeBron, after 4 years with the team, he just exhausts that. Ask the man sitting at this desk here.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of that four-year stretch in Cleveland, the entire organization was exhausted. Exhausted mentally, exhausted physically, exhausted assets. That is where the Lakers are right now. And so I just don't know how this team gets better, especially with all due respect, their front office has not shown an ability to be very deft with moves.
So how do they get better? How does LeBron get back to a place, assuming that he's not satisfied to just look. He's had a brilliant career. He's made all the money in the world. He could easily just sort of ride off into the sunset. But I don't get a sense that he's satisfied with that. No. So how does he get back to another place to try and win another championship?
It all falls on Anthony Davis. I said that earlier.
But what does that mean? But he can't stay healthy, Richard.
Well, if he can't stay healthy, I believe that he can stay healthy. I am the optimistic person that he needs to change his workout regimen. He needs to change the way he's approaching the game. He's not as young as he once was. And if he can change that mentality, then I think that there's still hope and optimism that, like you said, you keep two top 15 players, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. People are afraid to break them up, and they're not nearly as good as LeBron James and Anthony Davis, in my opinion. So when I look at this Laker team, I look at a team that has the pieces. They just have to find everything else that goes around.
The thing Anthony Davis is going to have to work on, I talk to people in the league, his balance. I know this sounds very basic. He falls down a lot. So he like if you study a guy like Joel Embiid, who falls down a lot too, but he has improved his balance a lot. He would do well to just improve his balance, and that would reduce his injuries.
Well, there's a place I never thought with this conversation would go. If only Anthony Davis didn't fall down so much, LeBron might be in much better shape. All right, guys, stay with me. A little later, RJ is going to set the internet on fire, listing his top five picks for the championship this year. And then tomorrow night, we've got those Celtics in the Heat. That's a big one in the Eastern Conference, 7:30 Eastern tomorrow, followed by the West leading Suns against the Warriors. Two big games tomorrow night here on ESPN. Coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. Back to football. Kansas City, our next stop. The Chiefs, of course, stunned the world last week by trading Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins. And I want you to make sure you heard this yesterday, the NFL owners' meetings. Here was Andy Reid addressing that decision and acknowledging the realities of the salary cap.
We did try to sign Tyreek at a certain cost. Once it gets past that, now you can see what we're doing here. With the players we brought in, and we feel they're very good football players. If you're paying all your money to a quarterback and you can't surround them with players, that could be a problem. So you've got to find a way to a Tyreek Hill, maybe, that you have to get rid of so that you can replenish.
All right, so it's an interesting scenario, and that is one of the when the quarterback takes all the money, there just isn't any left for anybody else. The football is a zero-sum game. That said, Diana, you had interesting conversations when you were at the owners' meetings. What did you hear about Kansas City?
Yeah, I love the word replenish that coach uses, because I think he knows you can't replace Tyreek Hill, but maybe you can come close. And after having a few conversations with different teams, I was told that the Chiefs have reached out to a few organizations to see if perhaps maybe they'd be interested in trading with the Chiefs for one of their receivers. So sometimes we don't hear of names that are being shopped around. And frankly, there are some teams that are not shopping around their wide receivers. But if the Chiefs are going to call them and maybe offer a really good deal, it's something that a GM, an owner, a head coach, they're going to have to discuss. And I was told that the Chiefs, they're doing some work here to find a way to perhaps replace Tyreek.
So let's deal in this year, Jeff. Because we all understand that from the long-term perspective, with a young quarterback, which Mahomes right. continues to be, this is probably the right move for them to make. But from the standpoint of winning a championship this year, do you believe they can do it if they don't do what Diana's talking about and go out and get a proven commodity on the outside for Mahomes to throw to?
I do think they can still do it. Listen, I mean, you when you think about it, with Kelce and Smith-Schuster and an offensive line that was retooled last year, this team still has an opportunity to go win a lot of games. They will take a step back offensively without Hill on their offense. You understand that. But I think by the latter part of the season, this thing will be going back and humming the way it has in the past. Andy Reid has proven and shown everybody in the NFL he will find offensive productivity. And again, you lose some at the beginning of the season, but I think they'll build it back. I still think this is a team to beat in the AFC, even though they had to let go of Hill.
That's an interesting perspective. So, Mike T, put the general manager's perspective on the table here. We talked about the Packers and how they're going to try and replace Devontae Adams. Now you have the Chiefs trying to replace Tyreek Hill. How do you do it?
Jeff Saturday, what are we going to do?
Scour. We're going to scour the entire league, baby.
The word of the morning.
So, and here's why. We got to win for today, Greeny, and develop for tomorrow. So I'm going to try to get somebody short-term. Maybe it's Odell Beckham Jr., maybe it's Jarvis Landry, and then I'm in an arms race, ironically, with the Packers. So I may have to trade up to go get a guy like Jameis Winston. I know Mel Kiper and Todd McShay have about six or seven receivers going in the first round. I agree with that. There are young, explosive players like Jahan Dotson at Penn State, amongst many others. But you're in a win-now mode in Kansas City. That's why you have to go get another veteran, win for today, draft one of those guys, and develop for tomorrow. Because, Greeny, it would be irresponsible of us to think that we're going to get Ja'Marr Chase or Justin Jefferson plug and play a rookie and have him catch 80 passes. That simply just doesn't happen very often. So we need a veteran for this year and then draft a longer-term replacement for Tyreek Hill that could play going forward.
So to be clear, where the Chiefs, despite not being the one seed, I think we're still considered the best team in the AFC last year. Jeff, we talk about that division and that conference as being unprecedentedly loaded. Even without Tyreek Hill, you still put them at the top?
I put them up there. Listen, there's a lot to go in the offseason. So with the draft, all that thing is going to kind of moving pieces and parts. They're still in the conversation, Greeny. Even with Hill leaving, this team is still loaded. Again, they're in a tough conference, tough division, but I still think they're one of the teams you're going to have to beat to ultimately get there.
All right, stay there. More on this as we go in just a moment. But I promised Richard Jefferson is going to set the internet on fire, and that is what's going to happen next. He is going to list for you the top five contenders for the NBA championship this year. Wait until you see which stars don't make the list. RJ's list and his spectacular shoes. Next, get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, I've been looking forward to this as we bring Richard Jefferson back in here for the first time in far too long. Yes. I've given him an absolutely impossible assignment. In the most competitive year I can ever remember in the NBA, I want you to list the 5 teams in order you could see winning the championship.
All right, well, you guys know me. I'm a little special, so I like to start with dessert first. So we're going to go with number 1 first. Show them number 1.
No, we can't do that. I'm told
we can't
do
five.
That.
Okay, number 5.
Yes, that was something we could have told our director, Cindy, before we decided to do it.
That's fine.
Go ahead.
The Memphis Grizzlies, this is a team that is elite. And I understand that Ja is out for a little bit of time, but mainly because this team plays, what's their record without Ja Morant?
18-2.
That shows you how good of a team they are. And that's what I'm talking about, culture. You talk about balance. They have, like, Desmond Bane, one of the guys that could be up for most improved player. Mm-hmm. So I love their team. And then we're going to go, now let's see if we can go to number 1 now.
No, we can't do that.
Okay, so we're going to go back to number 4. Let's see, what's number 4?
The Heat.
The Heat. Now, look, a lot have been made about the way they've been playing, a little bit of up and down lately, but in the little beef with Eric Spoelstra. But this is a team, again, they believe. That's what I like about them. They added P.J. Tucker, and they truly believe that they can beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Because they have beaten them in years prior. So if you believe that you can beat the defending champions, that's half the battle. So that's why I like Miami and the way they're playing.
Okay. Now, we can't do number 1, so go to 3.
Oh, no, let's do number 2. Can we do number 2?
Richard,
we can't do number 2.
This is why we've stopped inviting Richard to our studio.
Okay, we're going
to
do number 3. And Zach, you're in trouble, Zach, by the way. Zach, number 3, the Celtics. They have been playing outstanding defense. Like, their defense, and again, no Time Lord. He's going to be out. Robin Williams is going to be out for a little bit. But I love what they've embraced. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart playing the point guard, getting other people involved. They have a very balanced team. I like them mainly because when you look at it, you're going to have to win on the defensive end, and this is a team that plays high-level defense.
And we know we're number two. Number two. Number two, show it. The Milwaukee Bucks are the defending champion. This one is hard for me to say because they are the champions until somebody knocks them off. Their record when their big three play, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis, it is next to unstoppable. They've added depth. Brooke Lopez is back. They added Serge Ibaka. I like Grayson Allen, even though he went to Duke, but they have a lot of talent on that team. And then number one, ladies and gentlemen, my hometown. Are we going to show
the Phoenix Suns?
The Phoenix Suns are number one. And the reason why they're number one is Tim Legler did this amazing piece. They had every single thing that you need. Do they have a dominant big? Yes, they have Ayton. And then they have JaVale McGee. And then they have Bismack Biyombo. Then do they have 3-and-D guys? They have some of the best 3-and-D guys in this league. You have Mikal Bridges and you have Jay Crowder. Then do they have elite clutch time play? Chris Paul and Devin Booker are two of the most elite players. I think they rank either 1 and 2 or 1 and 3 in clutch time moments, lack of turnovers. They have every single thing you need to be dominant, and that's what they've been
all
this year.
And let me invite Wendy to come in here. I have two questions. So the first team that is missing that I want to ask you about is Golden State, because the Warriors just haven't been whole. Mm-hmm. But if I told you right now that Steph was going to be healthy and Draymond was going to be healthy with Klay Thompson back, we know they won't have Wiseman. If I told you they were healthy, would they crash this list?
No, not currently right now. I think that would just have them just outside the Memphis Grizzlies right
fair
now.
Enough. Then the one I love you. You know how much affection I have for you. But I will just say it. To not have the Brooklyn Nets in the top five, I think, is ridiculous. You've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. If you were choosing up teams with any other group, anyone on this group, you're telling me right now they wouldn't have two of the first three players on any team.
First of all, they have an NCAA tournament situation just to get to the playoffs.
Right.
They might have to win a single elimination, possibly another single elimination game, just to get to the postseason.
I see them doing that. I mean, they've got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
Richard Jefferson? Why is Richard Jefferson on this network right now wearing these shoes?
Why?
It is because he tells the truth.
There's my guy.
He does Nets games. It's one of his jobs. He is calling tonight's game against the Pistons. He is going to be over there. He has seen the Nets play defense. He knows. There were other years. There were years when Richard was on the Cavs where the East was so weak that I felt like maybe the Nets could do that. In this particular setting, playing defense in the bottom seven, they were the bottom seven in November. They're the bottom seven in March. They're going to be the bottom seven in April. I don't think, as you mentioned, to win 13, maybe even 14 games to get to just to the finals. It's a huge lift.
Yeah. Let me ask you about one more, because people will comment that you don't have Philly on this list with Embiid and Harden. Why not?
Well, I just think that they have too much. They gave away a lot of their depth. And look, it looks good. Their team is very good. But if you look at all of these teams up here, there's nothing here that is stopping any of these teams. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Ja Morant, but we know that they're dominant without Ja Morant. All of these other teams have been pushing in the same direction all year long. Very little drama in Phoenix. They won without their starting backcourt multiple games. No drama in Milwaukee. The Celtics, they got up to a slow start, brand new coach, a new system, but they have been one of the best teams since January 1. The Heat, they're just always going to do what the Heat are going to do. They're consistent. They have, you know, the same approach from top to bottom. So all of these teams also have the least amount of drama on their squad.
Fair enough. All right, it's well done. There's always drama when Richard Jefferson is in town. Back to football here for the moment. By the way, we just got this in, and I wanted to make sure that you got to see and hear it. From the owners' meetings, Mac Jones heading into his second season in New England, Bill Belichick with question marks about his coaching staff. The owner of the Patriots is Bob Kraft. He wants to win now. Listen to what he said this morning at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach.
It bothers me that we haven't been able to win a playoff game in the last 3 years.
If it takes a few years for the team to be, you know, in true contention, or do you expect that to happen as soon as this year?
I expect it to happen as soon as this year.
I expect it to happen as soon as this year, says Bob Kraft, who is a legendary owner and doesn't say things like that lightly. Jeff, Saturday, we've talked about how incredibly crowded the AFC picture is, maybe more so than any conference has ever been. Are the Patriots, do you expect them to do any significant winning this year?
Yeah, I think they got to make the playoffs. I mean, listen, this is a team that was right on the cusp. I mean, they got a new quarterback. They spent a ton of money 2 years ago in free agency. The expectations are different in New England. And I think with Mac Jones and the expectations of Robert Kraft, I think that's speaking truth. But you got one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach of all time, leading your organization. They have to find ways to win. And again, if you're Bob Kraft sitting in that meeting, he wants to win now. I don't blame him a bit. I think ultimately they get there to make the playoffs. I don't think they win the Super Bowl or get close, but I do think they make the playoffs.
Well, so hold on a minute here. Let me just do a little math in my head, right? There's only room for so many teams in the playoffs, Mike Tannenbaum, and someone has to win the AFC West. That means three potential wild card teams from that division. The Buffalo Bills are clearly head and shoulders the team to beat in the AFC East, so the Patriots are very unlikely to be competing there. You have Cleveland and Cincinnati and Baltimore. You have Tennessee and Indianapolis. Wild card spots are not going to be easy to find. Is Belichick going to find one, Mike?
He is. And I think what Mr. Kraft is saying is there's expectations that are high there. And they had a great year with Mac Jones. They went to the playoffs. He has to take the next step. I think Cleveland will be the odd team right now because I think Deshaun Watson will serve a meaningful suspension. And I think only one team from the South gets in. So I do think New England gets in. I just think the standards are so high there that what they accomplished last year with Mac Jones is really hard to quantify. But make no mistake about it, the AFC is going to be historically tough this year.
Yeah, so Diana, what were you hearing about the Patriots down there at the owners' meetings?
Yeah, they really believe in Mac Jones. And here's the thing. You can run back sound from the owners meeting last year that was virtual and hear Robert Kraft essentially say the same thing. And the expectation is always going to be really high. And they're hoping to really find those pieces in this upcoming draft. That's the area where people think New England is going to try to make a significant improvement.
That'll be fascinating to watch. All right, jam-packed today. Outstanding, guys. Thank you very much. By the way, a reminder that First Take is coming away at the top of the hour here. More basketball. Are the Warriors no longer serious title threats? And whose departure is more significant to their team, Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill? First Take is just 5 minutes away here on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, after North Macedonia's massive upset of Italy Thursday, they'll square off against Cristiano Ronaldo in Portugal this afternoon. The winner goes to this year's World Cup. Our coverage begins 2:30 Eastern on ESPN2 and the ESPN app. All right, I got 40 seconds. Richard Jefferson, you told me earlier, LeBron James, he knows what's going on. He knows he's not winning a title this year.
Yeah.
Do you think Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving think they're winning the championship this year?
100%. I think those two guys can look at each other in such a dependable way that, hey, if I would have had you on the court last year against Milwaukee, mm-hmm. I think we would have won.
And they're
so
right.
They're right. So that's what I'm saying. They believe, and that's half the battle.
If I had to pick a player to play one-on-one for my life, I would pick Kevin Durant right now. I can't give him a higher compliment than that. So, of course, they've got a fighting chance.
All right, we will see what happens. We're going to take this conversation over to ESPN Radio coast to coast. The fun continues with First Take here now.